Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Mark 10, 46 through 52. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Then he reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road.
During the time of Isaiah, there was huge political intrigue going on. Political liaisons, all sorts of behind-the-scenes political junk going on. And two prophets in particular, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel also, resorted to, at God's instruction, using visual messaging to get across what God wanted his people to understand. Isaiah was told to put on a sandwich board and to walk around among the people with the sandwich board on, and on it was written, "Malher Shalal Hashbaz." Say that three times quickly. "Malher Shalal Hashbaz" on his sandwich board. Sometime later, Isaiah and his wife bear a child. And guess what they name their child? Malher Shalal Hashbaz. Wouldn't you hate to pick out a baby gift for Malher Shalal Hashbaz, you know? And if you translate that in the Hebrew, it Malher Shalal Hashbaz means something like, rough translation, but something like, trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. And so people seeing this little baby named Malher Shalal Hashbaz probably said something like, "What a strange name to give a baby. What possessed you, Isaiah, to give your child that name?" Or others may have said, "Are you trying to tell us something? Is there another message here that we ought to be picking up on?" Well, we human beings know that human beings don't often see what is obvious. Remember what in this would have been the 90s, you'd go in these art stores in the mall and they would have these pictures on the wall, and if you crossed your eyes and stood on your head, you could see something 3D that would come out from this thing. And isn't that a metaphor for how we are? Sometimes I go in Raley's to buy something, and if there's a woman standing out nearby, I'll say, "Okay, I'm a man. I'm looking for something. Is it here?" And then I'm not seeing it. You know, am I not seeing it? Well, God told Isaiah, in the midst of all this political darkness and trouble that was going on in the world, God says, "The time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." The time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Further, he says, the people who dwelled in darkness will see a great light. And so these people that have been blind, these people that have been stumbling around, will at the right time in history see a great light. Well, Matthew picks up this theme from Isaiah and says, referring to the Messiah, the people who dwelled in darkness have seen a great light. And he was talking about Messiah. I want to talk to you this morning about blindness or darkness, because I think it's a huge theme in Scripture when you start looking for it. You know, the people of Jesus' time were not perfect people, but there were people who could see. They were people who had vision. Let me give you a couple of examples. David, during the Old Testament, wrote that great psalm of anguish and pain, confessing his sin to God. He could see it. He was aware of it. It wasn't. He did not go through his life denying it. He didn't say, "There's nothing wrong with me." He could see it. Or Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, persecuted Christians, knew through godly vision who he was and who he was serving. Saul, even during that dark period in his life when he killed Christians, he pursued them and persecuted them, could see. So today's text that Dee read to us is about a man with physical blindness. But the irony is that even though he had physical blindness, he could see. I love the text. Jesus says, "What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you want?" And Bartimaeus says, "I want to see." And in that request, there's a sort of seeing that's already occurring. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pronounces a blessing on people who are hungry and thirsty. And it's really kind of a blessing on people who have vision. Because hunger and thirst imply a kind of awareness that we have. I can feel the growling in the pit of my stomach when I'm hungry because I'm sentient. I'm aware. I know what's going on, and I'm honest about it. And so Jesus says, the people that hunger and thirst will be filled. There's something about them. There's something about their openness and their receptivity that means that these are people who can be satiated. They can be filled. They can have their hunger and their thirst relieved. It's not the sort of thing you'd hear much today. But in talking about hunger and thirst, Jesus is really talking ultimately about openness. What is interesting is this story about Bartimaeus sits next to a story of people who are spiritually blind but don't know it. I think Mark was setting it up that way. I think when Mark told this story to his church, he was saying, without saying, I want to show you the contrast between a person who sees and a person who doesn't see. You can spot these people pretty easily. They're sitting on the grass, enwrapped in what Jesus is saying, blithe to their growling stomachs, because we know they're hungry. They've been there a long time. They've been listening to Jesus for a long time. But they're blithe to that. They don't feel it. They don't hear it because they're so enwrapped by what Jesus is saying. These are the people of whom Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. You know, the code in that saying is that blind people, spiritually blind people, don't think they need a doctor. But people who are aware, people who are open, people who see, those are the people that will receive the medical attention. They are the guy that's standing in the temple, actually not standing, he's kneeling, he's looking at the ground, he's afraid to even lift his head, and he can't lift his eyes to heaven. And he's saying to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I've done. Versus the guy that's standing over in the other side of the temple with arms lifted to heaven saying, I'm so thankful, God, that I'm not like that guy over there in the corner. So thankful. Of course, we know who the blind person was. It was the guy standing with his hands lifted. And it's Bartimaeus who cries out for healing that has sight. It's the people who said, will you leave the teacher alone? Will you leave Jesus alone? He's got things to do. They're the blind ones in the story. Well, after the healing of Bartimaeus, Jesus makes what is popularly called the triumphal entry. It's celebrated as Palm Sunday. And then Jesus tells the story, Mark tells the story of Jesus' rage at the temple when he goes in there and he finds the money changers and all those folks trying to make a quick buck on the pilgrims that had come to town. It always makes me sad to see triumphal entry at the leading edge of this text. I don't think it's meant to be cast in that light. Jesus is going to his death. There's nothing, humanly speaking, that is triumphal about it. He's going to go through the betrayal by Judas. He's going to hear the crowds shouting, crucify him. He's going to go through the indignity and the helplessness of having somebody nail you to a cross and make fun of you. But part of that is, I think, one of the reasons that the palm branches and the clothing was thrown on the ground for him to come in on is because people were blind to what he had been saying. Blind to what his purpose was. Blind to the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God meant. I think you could cast the health and wealth folks in that light. They don't understand. To them, Jesus is an ATM. He's not the Savior of the world. He's not the one that's bringing his kingdom. Though Mark's gospel doesn't call them this, these both the triumphal entry and the temple event are good examples of people who are blind but don't know it. The very idea that you could think that you could turn the temple into that, that it could become a means of financial advancement. Oh, I'm going to make some money to contribute to my 401k. You know, I'm going to buy that thing that I wanted. In Jesus' condemnation of what the money changers were doing, he said, instead of a place for all the nations, you have turned my temple into a den of thieves. Last night, this is an aside, but last night a friend that I've made through Starbucks was having a surprise birthday party. His wife was throwing it for him. And there's a UC person that I know that works with foreign students, and she invited me and another guy in Starbucks to come to this surprise birthday party. And so I figured I pretty well would know three people: the person that invited me, the birthday boy, and this other guy. So Bev and I said, yeah, we'll show up. We took a bottle of wine and a card, and I said, you know, hour. We'll be out of there in an hour. So we go to this birthday party. And the room is loud with laughter and conversation. And I turn from one person to the next. And there was a guy from Kenya there. And there was a woman from, I think, probably China. And it was like UN. It was like a place for the nations is what Jesus is referring to. And that's how he saw the temple. And it's what had been prophesied. You know, it's what God told Abraham. That this is something that the nations are going to flow to it. But don't you see, you can't see that unless you have the vision of which Jesus is speaking. It requires the ability to see. So, of Abraham, this is Genesis 12:3. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And so, Mary also gives some insight into this. Mary says, God has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. I think that's amazing. God says it to Abraham. He says it through Isaiah. He says it in the temple. He says it through Mary. But it requires vision to see it. Our neighbor across the street just had cataract surgery. And I bumped into her on the bike path. She's a runner. And I asked her how her eyes were doing. She says, oh, great. She said, I've got 20/25 vision now, just after a few days. And she said, it's amazing to me how bright the world is. Spiritual equivalents of physical blindness include prejudice, pride, hatred, ignorance, laziness. It's not being able to see the people around us. It's thinking that I'm the only person in the world and that I have the only point of view in the world. What if Bartimaeus thought blindness was normal? Can you imagine what that would be like? What would have happened to his life if he thought this is all there is? But he entertained the idea, the possibility, because he had spiritual vision, that there was something better than what he was experiencing. And so when Jesus says, what do you want? Well, I want to see. Isn't that obvious? I want to see. The distinguishing fact about Bartimaeus was his insistence that he see Jesus. And Jesus restored his sight. I think a modern day equivalent would be, Lord, I want to understand. I want to be able to read. I want to be able to read what you've given to me in the Bible without laying all these templates on top of it that we lay on top. You can go to the Bible bookstore and you can buy the, I don't know, I'm making some of this up, but you know, the Success Bible and, you know, How to Be a Millionaire in 10 Years Bible. And I just want to see. I think it's remarkable that the crowds tried to shut shout down Bartimaeus. Be quiet. Quit bothering Jesus, they say. You're distracting us. You're getting in our face. We're tired of you. Shut up. But it's the nature of hunger that you don't allow other people to shout you down once you recognize your hunger. I heard a quote once that I think is pertinent to this matter of blindness, and it goes like this. The man who does not read, man or woman, who does not read, has no advantage over the man who cannot read but desires it. It's possible that you and I can suffer from certain kinds of blindness. I have some selective blindness, I think. And it's when you talk to somebody really honest or somebody that has another point of view than the one that you have that you start to realize, oh, I was so blind to that. How did I not see that? And there can be 1,000 causes. It could be ignorance or laziness or arrogance or indifference. I don't really care. Lots of things could contribute to it. I think Bartimaeus compels us to ask the question, am I blind? Am I blind? And in what ways does that blindness manifest in my life? What are the things or the people that I'm blind to? Jesus is walking down the road. Will we use our opportunity when we pass him to say, would you heal my blindness? Would you restore my sight as you did to Bartimaeus? In this case, being spiritual blindness. Only the blind who want to see get this. Let's pray. Dear Father, give us vision to see. Help us to awaken to the truths all around us. May we have the cataracts of doubt and ignorance and prejudice removed from our eyes so that we can see with clearer vision. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.